Coming soon to this channel, we have Floss Weekly with me, Simon Phipps, and my colleague, Dan Lynn. And you'll want to listen in because we're going to tell you how you can get your web server delivering web pages faster and more smoothly on the internet. Don't miss it. Tune in now.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and if you'd like to help us design our new website, I invite you to visit twit.to/navtest. We've got 8 quick questions we'd like to ask you that will help us make the navigation easier to use. That's twit.to/navtest. Thanks a lot.
This is Floss Weekly with Simon Phipps and Dan Lynch. Episode 318, recorded December 10th, 2014. Mod PageSpeed. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Floss Weekly. My name's Simon Phipps. I'm standing in for Randall Schwartz this week. And I'm joined in my efforts by Dan Lynch. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, it's good to be back. Yeah, it's another British takeover. We've done this once or twice before, so people will notice that 2 British voices on today. I hope you can tell us apart. But yeah, it's good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we all sound the same. So where are you calling in from, Dan? I'm in Southampton, down on the south coast of the UK. Where are you?
I'm in Liverpool. We're both in coast cities, in ports, big port cities. Southampton, a big port, obviously, and Liverpool, a famous old shipping port as well.
Excellent. Well, so now today's show is about something called Mod PageSpeed. And I had a little look at that. It looks like it's a Swiss Army knife of performance enhancements for web servers. I'd never heard of it before. Do you know anything about it, Dan?
To be honest, only since researching the show, but it's basically a tool that you can use to optimize your web server, be it Apache or I think some other things as well. We'll get into that to make your improve your performance, make your pages faster, make your sites faster, which is obviously a big thing for all websites, as we know.
All right. Well, let's stem our ignorance and see if our guest is available. Our guest is Jeff Kaufman from Google. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Greetings. So we really don't know what we're talking about, which all of our regular viewers know. Tell us, what is Mod PageSpeed?
Sure. So Mod PageSpeed is something you can install in Apache or Nginx, or we also have versions for some other web servers. It takes your website and it makes changes to it so that it will load faster for your site visitors.
So when you say it changes your website, do you mean it goes and messes with the HTML, or are you saying that it does something with the code as it's served up by the web server?
So it changes. So as the HTML and resources flow through your web server, it makes changes to them so that things load faster, yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't change anything on your disk, except for its cache.
So what sort of changes is it making?
So one example is, imagine you have an image that you're currently resizing in HTML. So the image on disk is 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels, but in HTML you just resize it down to 100 by 100. So that's incredibly wasteful. Your image could have 100x fewer pixels, 10 by 10. And so that's a change that Mod PageSpeed can observe in the HTML and substitute the URL to a resized image that won't have the extra pixels.
Right. What is the range of the tweaks that are made by the code? I noticed in the description on the website that it seems to do many, many different tricks to improve performance.
Yep. We'll minify your JavaScript, your CSS, your HTML. We'll combine files, like you'll have one large JavaScript file instead of several separate ones, because often the main overhead in downloading a page is the number of different round trips, and we can minimize round trips that way. We have various things to just reduce the number of bytes, like in an image. We can strip out metadata. We can convert it to WebP for browsers that support it. We can recompress to a more efficient JPEG for browsers that don't support WebP. lots and lots of different things.
Right.
So you the seem, advantage of you, having...
Sorry, you seem to be suggesting there that...
Sorry.
I'm sorry, I'm talking across you. You seem to be suggesting there that that you take a look at what the browser is and you do things that are specific to the browser. So this isn't just generic speed-ups. This is things that are sensitive to the individual connection that's going on.
Yes, that's some of what we do. We don't want to send something down the browser won't support.
Right. So do you also do things like optimize for mobile versus desktop browsing?
We're starting to look at that some. Right now, our mobile optimizations are pretty limited. We'll compress the images a little more heavily if you have a small screen. But mostly we do the same thing for mobile right now.
Right. And this project is sponsored by Google or is a collaborative activity?
So, yes, it's sponsored by Google. Most of the people who work on it are full-time Google employees as their primary thing. We have had some external contributions, including when we did an engine export, we had lots of great help from people over at Taobao who work on Tengen, which is an Nginx fork.
Right. Do you have any other collaborators who are working on it strongly apart from Taobao? Are there any other, you know, do you have people from Facebook and from Twitter, for example, involved?
No one at Facebook or Twitter. We do have some people who work at a startup in the Netherlands called WeAmp. They've taken ModPagespeed and they've ported it to Apache Traffic Server. And also the Microsoft IIS stack, so you can support it in a few more places. And they've also made contributions back to Nginx PageSpeed and Mod PageSpeed.
Right. And what sort of governance do you have here? I mean, are you using GitHub and using Git governance, or do you have some other approach?
It's actually kind of awkward. Mod PageSpeed is on Google Code, and Nginx PageSpeed is on GitHub, and the Mod PageSpeed Google Code repository includes a whole bunch of shared stuff that they both use. We would like to move entirely to GitHub.
Right. And do you use a contributor agreement or something, or do you just use license in, license out as the way of making sure you have all the rights from contributors?
We do have a contributor license agreement. It's pretty lightweight. We're not asking for copyright.
Okay, so you're using a declaration of originality from developers.
It's something like that. Yeah, it's there's this standard contributor license agreement that Google wants for all of its open source projects, and we use that one.
Right. So why is Google doing this as an open source project? Because a lot of the code that Google has inside its organization, as far as I understand it, is kept proprietary. Why is this open source?
So what's going on here is we're asking people to run something as part of their web server. We're saying, hey, we've got this great thing that will speed up your site. We'd like you to use it. One of the ways you can deploy it is you can run it inside your web server. And it doesn't really make sense for us to ask people to run proprietary code inside their web servers.
Okay. I did notice as I was looking through the code that you seem to take into account some other initiatives that Google is working on. I noticed, for example, that you treat Speedy specially. Would you say that this is part of a network of initiatives that Google is taking to improve web speeds?
So this came out of a project at Google called Make the Web Fast, and so did a lot of the work on Speedy, including the Apache port to Speedy. I think the Speedy project itself predated that effort. But anyway, yeah, so there's a bunch of different things at Google where different people are working on how to make the web faster. And our support for Speedy at this point is kind of minimal, unfortunately. We work with Speedy, but there are a bunch of optimizations which we should probably be doing differently when we run under Speedy. And we don't do them differently out of the box. You'd have to configure that separately. Like, you might not want to do domain sharding with Speedy. Or in fact, you almost certainly don't want to do domain sharding with Speedy. That's something that you do to get around an HTTP connection limit that Speedy gets rid of. But we don't actually do that automatically. We should.
So I was just going to ask actually about Speedy, because it's not a project that I know a massive amount about. So for the benefit of people watching and listening who maybe don't know, am I right in thinking it's trying to improve the HTTP protocol and kind of almost like a wrapper? Would that be a good description?
I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be... So It might be good to come at this a little from the perspective of HTTP 2.0, which is heavily based on Speedy, I think the version 3 draft. And Speedy and HTTP 2.0, they're both sort of attempts to make a new version of HTTP that take advantage, that sort of fix a bunch of old things in HTTP, such as the way you can't, the way pipelining works, where you can't make, if you ask for something quick and something slow, and you ask for the slow thing first, you've got to wait for that until you get the quick thing. So a bunch of things like that that make round trips really expensive. And lots of other changes too, but that's a big one that I see.
And one of the things I hear a lot from people when I'm a lot of web developers that I speak to is that obviously you know, you want your sites to be fast and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of people seem to think that, as you know, domestic broadband connections have become faster and all the rest of it, they don't seem to worry as much. In the old days, you know, I would spend forever optimizing an image, you know, compressing it and all the rest of it, so it didn't take forever to load on a dial-up connection. Do you think people still worry as much about the optimization? Obviously on the server end, it's important for your bandwidth and stuff, but your average developer, do you have any job kind of sell them on the idea at all?
Okay, so kind of three things. So one is, if you are concerned about bandwidth, we do have an optimized for bandwidth mode that's very simple and just does what it says. It's going to recompress your things. It's going to save you hosting costs in terms if your bandwidth fees are expensive. But also, I would question a little bit, you're saying that everybody has fast connections now. I mean, lots of people in the world still are browsing the web over Edge, over 2G. And that's not sort of the world that we mostly see in the UK and the US. But it's very common, and so we'd like to speed up that situation. And then separately, even though modern connections tend to have very good bandwidth, they have very poor latency. In the past year or two, we've been looking at how to make changes to pages to reduce latency. So I gave the example of combining. That's something that has basically no effect on bandwidth. You had one CSS file where you previously had 15. It has a tremendous effect on latency, because you can make one request and get one response instead of having to make 15 requests that you can't even fully parallelize because we have a connection limit in the browser. There are ways that we speed up sites, even like in the US or the UK, when you have a high bandwidth, high latency connection.
Yeah, that's very true. I have to admit, I was playing devil's advocate a bit there, because I know a lot of people don't have fast connections. It's just it's easy to assume that when you live in a place where you do have a fast connection. In terms of on a kind of technical level, you've got mod page speed for Apache. You mentioned there's Nginx as well, and also you mentioned IIS and some of the Windows stuff. So is the goal to support as many servers as possible?
We'd like to be ported to every platform that people would like to run us on. There is some amount of support overhead that comes with platforms. Mostly WAMP has done all of the supporting for the platforms they've ported to and have been doing really great with that. And the things that they've wanted us to fix have all been things that we kind of should have fixed anyway.
Yeah, and what kind of... Is it written in C? What kind of languages are we looking at here? And do I need anything special to support... to support installation of this, or is it just straight into Apache with the module and so on?
So the Apache install is very simple. You don't have to compile anything. You can just basically you add our repository, and then you say apt-get install mod pagespeed. It's like two commands. It's nice. The Nginx install you have to build from source, because Nginx doesn't support loadable modules, which is kind of crazy. So for that you have to download a few things, run a few build commands. It's all in C++, except for small bits in C where we have to integrate with the web servers, because the web servers are in C. But almost all C++.
Excellent. And Simon kind of touched on this a bit before, but it seems you've got quite a wide user base right now. It's taken off really quickly. So are you getting a lot of developers getting involved as well? People kind of submitting patches or you know, making suggestions and so on?
I would say it's more in the form of suggestions and things that we fix because someone was very sort of assiduous in debugging a problem on their site. We've gotten certainly some patches, especially for Nginx PageSpeed, which I think is related to being on GitHub. But for the most part, development is still probably the people at Google and maybe five external people have submitted significant changes.
Hmm. And you mentioned that you've got different modes that you can use. So maybe we should talk about those a little bit. So we talked about the bandwidth reduction mode for...
optimized for bandwidth, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So what other modes have you got and what are they used for?
So our default mode we call core filters. It just rewrites your page sort of in the best compromise between sort of reliability and sort of unlikely to break pages, but also getting you a significant speed up. Then optimized for bandwidth is really just aimed at bandwidth and is also designed to be as safe as possible. It's something that like hosting providers can turn on by default without annoying their users, just saving them bandwidth. Then we have, you can also put us in, you can also turn on additional optimizations manually. So good ones to look into would be defer JavaScript or prioritize critical CSS. These are both changes that can have a really large impact, but are a little bit too dangerous for us to be willing to turn on for all the sites by default.
Mm. And you mentioned you can make these manual changes. One of the things I was watching the video earlier about mod page speed and all the things that you're doing, and it may already be in there, but one thing that kind of occurred to me was maybe for the things like the manual changes and the configuration, could I create like a config file and just share it, you know, like almost like a recipe for something like Chef, where I would just go, oh, this is such and such a site, I know it needs this on this server, and just give it the file with all the stuff already done. Would that work?
Yeah. So we use the standard web server configuration. So in Apache, that's one kind of file. In Nginx, it's a different kind of file. But it's just a list of directives. And you can have one file which has your list of directives, and you can use an include command in Apache or Nginx to just pull all those into the place they belong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now with all these optimizations, Jeff, why would you not just leave them turned on all the time if they make all these improvements?
So in general, you do. So all our core filters are things that are on all the time. Some of them won't act on every page. I mean, they'll only act if there's something relevant to fix or if some precondition is met. But we have other options. Basically, when we don't turn something on all the time, it's because it breaks some sites. And usually it has, if we have it, it's because it has enough of a benefit to be worth it for the sites it doesn't break. But if we don't have an automated way to tell whether we've broken a site, then all we can do is say, like, hey, we have this cool filter. It's called rewrite JavaScript. We have this cool filter. It's called defer JavaScript. It can improve your page load dramatically. But if you're using JavaScript in a certain way, it can also have bad effects on your site. So why don't you turn this on? We have a way to experimentally turn things on. Why don't you turn this on with a query parameter, see how it looks on your site, and if it looks good, turn it on permanently.
Right. So I saw in there that you can automatically do domain sharding for people. I'm aware that that's a pretty bad thing to do if you're running over a Speedy connection, because Speedy is an end-to-end pipeline. Yep. Are you able to decide to do those things on a case-by-case basis that are based not on either the browser or the content, but on the connection?
In both Apache and Nginx, you can say, if this is a Speedy connection, then enable a different set of filters. So you do that through, in Nginx, you do it through the standard configuration language. You can say, if the connection is Speedy, set this variable, and then pass that variable through to our enable filters. In Apache, we have a mod page speed if Speedy directive that lets you list directives that will only apply if they're Speedy. Sorry.
No worries. One of our viewers on IRC has been asking, Esol has been asking, what sort of load does this place on the server doing all these optimizations? It sounds like you're doing image and even stream transcoding. It sounds like you're doing conditional delivery of content, conditional domain sharding. Doesn't this make the CPU burn up?
Well, so we can cache a lot of our optimizations. So we optimize your image, we optimize it once, we put it in cache, and we do that in the background on the first request. So your first request is generally unoptimized because we don't want to slow it down by rewriting your images, because our goal is to speed it up. So we store it in cache. There is a performance hit, but it depends sort of what else is in your stack. So if you have dynamic generation of content, that is mostly not cacheable, then you probably wouldn't notice the additional server load of page speed compared to that. Like if you're running, Drupal or whatever, or WordPress without much caching, you probably wouldn't notice the additional load of page speed. On the other hand, if you're running a site that gets a huge amount of traffic and everything is currently static, even after we've put stuff in cache, we're still doing more overhead on each request. Like we have to parse the HTML every time to look for things to optimize. And that's very well tuned and very well optimized, but it's still doing something that you wouldn't otherwise have to do. So if your site is completely static, you might have to allocate more servers.
Right. And on the opposite end of that, you know, in terms of doing the cost-benefit analysis, you described dramatically faster page loading. Can you quantify that? Can you say, on average, what sort of benefit you're getting from these improvements?
I don't have exact numbers for, like, typical pages. But in general, most websites will see, if you just use the core filters, you'll see a small improvement in speed and a medium improvement in bandwidth. If you manually tune it and you turn on, I think the example I gave when I said a dramatic speed up was our defer JavaScript filter, then you can start seeing improvements that are closer to like your page downloads in half the time. But most of the sort of changes that we're going to make on a typical site, we don't have strong numbers to back this up, but with the small amount of testing that we've done on this is single digit percentage improvements.
Okay. So the question there is going to be, you know, is this going to be a worthwhile thing to dedicate my CPU to? Yep. Do you think there's a big difference between the benefit you get from dynamic versus statically loaded pages?
I'm sorry, I'm not sure what you're asking.
Earlier you were commenting on the load from serving up static web pages. I'm assuming.
All I was saying there is that generally, if you have a stack that is entirely static, where you compile everything to straight up HTML and JavaScript and CSS and leave it on the disk and just serve that out, that's going to be a very lightweight serving stack. And in that case, the additional weight of running page speed you'll notice. But I was also saying that's not a very common serving stack. It's much more common for people nowadays to be running some kind of dynamic content generation. Whether it's WordPress or Drupal or Magento or whatever. And in that sort of setup, the additional CPU usage due to page speed is kind of marginal.
Right. Do you think this is going to cause a greater risk of a problem if a site gets DDoSed? I mean, do you up the amount of optimization you're doing if you detect a high traffic? Do you reduce it? Do you not even notice it?
Yes. So we do have several different load shedding things. So we have a limit on how many images we're willing to rewrite at once. We have a limit. We have several internal limits. And if a site is getting very high traffic, we prioritize getting just the raw bytes not optimized out and keeping the site up. And we do our optimizations if there's available capacity.
Right, and if I've got carry on.
Sorry, no, go ahead.
And so, if I have a bunch of servers, is there a way that I would be able to get them to cooperate over this work?
Yeah. So, if you have a bunch of servers, you definitely want them all running the same version of PageSpeed and the same configuration. And as long as you do that, it'll mostly work. But you can do even better by having them share a cache. So, imagine HTML flows through our system. We do that image optimization, which will involve changing the URL, and we'll store it in our cache. If the request for that image comes back and hits a different server, then you'd like it to already be in that service cache and not have it re-optimize the image. So you can share caches normally we suggest people sharing caches by using mcached, but you can also use a shared file system cache or something. But memcached is usually the way to go for sharing a cache here.
How does this compare to, does it integrate with things like Varnish, people are asking us in the IRC?
Yep. So if you have if a Varnish or something downstream from us, we'll generally just make it work better. So for example, if previously your JavaScript was served out with a 10-minute cache lifetime trying to balance speed and freshness, we'll automatically long cache that JavaScript. So that is, we'll rename it to have a hash of the content in the URL, which means we can serve it up with a 1-year cache lifetime. Varnish can hold on to it, doesn't have to come back to the origin server. Mm-hmm. Varnish will work better. Mm-hmm. And then if the content does change, we'll change the reference in the HTML to have a different hash because the content changed. And then Varnish will see that immediately. Then the HTML will go through Varnish, and then when the request comes back, Varnish will see that immediately and stop serving up the old content. We also have a somewhat more complicated way of caching your HTML itself in Varnish, your output HTML, if you have cacheable HTML pages. But that's kind of experimental for now.
Mm. Excellent. Yeah, that's just something people were asking about, because I think many of them may already have Varnish in play, if you like, to use that analogy. Cool. All right. And so you mentioned, it looks like you've got quite a big user base at the moment. So are there any kind of interesting or innovative uses of Mod PageSpeed that you've seen that you think, oh, that's great, we wouldn't have done that, or maybe we've seen something cool happening out in the community?
One cool thing someone did is, I don't know if you know that. On Android, there's something called the data compression proxy, which you can turn on for Chrome, and it will do something kind of similar to Mod PageSpeed, mostly optimizing for bandwidth, just to rewrite things before they get to your phone, cut down on your carrier bandwidth bill. So while we were working on that, which was sort of developed by a sister team to Mod PageSpeed, while they were working on it, someone posted online about how they had taken Mod PageSpeed and put it on a VPS and implemented almost exactly the same thing entirely in open source, which was pretty cool.
Mm, that is very cool. Yeah, I like the sound of that. All right, and so where are we? Okay, yeah. So you mentioned that there's a lot of manual optimizations you can make and so on. So why aren't all the optimizations? I know Simon kind of asked this before, but why aren't all of the optimizations on by default? What kind of things would be affected? You know, is there certain use cases that you think we can't put this on by default because it'll have a detrimental effect?
Imagine you have JavaScript is used kind of for progressive enhancement. So maybe you have a page where you download the page, and then they want to have autocomplete in a text box. So there's JavaScript to handle figuring out what the autocomplete option should be. Okay? In that case, hold on.
Getting another call.
Apparently.
Happens to me as well. I tossed my Nexus phone on the floor to stop that happening.
Yeah, well, and unfortunately I have my computer set to receive calls, so...
Okay.
Anyway, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So I was saying, imagine you have a site that uses JavaScript for progressive enhancement. So this is a pretty typical way to use JavaScript. And in this case, and imagine that they're installing, imagine they have like jQuery in their head of the document, and they include it the standard way by saying script source equals path jQuery. And they've got a bunch of other reasonably heavyweight JavaScript, which isn't used for the initial view of the page, but is used a little bit after that when the user starts interacting it if they do something fancy. So in this case, we don't actually need the JavaScript to execute right away. So we can postpone the JavaScript execution, which is a little bit complicated because we want to still support things like document.write. So we have some pretty complicated logic in deferred JavaScript that supports this. And this generally works pretty well. But there are some sites that use either they use a sufficiently complicated JavaScript feature that our mock of document.write doesn't work, or that they break it in some other way. Or they're using JavaScript to just straight up load the page. Like if you're using if you're loading your whole page by shipping some JavaScript to the client and then it does some fetches based on running that JavaScript, you're not using it for progressive enhancement. It's your entire page, We shouldn't defer it. We don't want to delay your JavaScript at all. And so that's an example of a page that should not turn on deferred JavaScript. And because we can't, in an automated way, figure out what these pages are, which ones will break, or which ones will actually slow down the content the user cares about, we can't turn that on by default. But people can turn it on, see if it speedups their page, and if it does, then use that. We also have a way to do A/B testing on these and run experiments.
I'm no brilliant web developer, but I've done a fair bit of web development. And I find in it's maybe to do with the clients I've been working with and so on, but I find that in a development, if you're trying to do any kind of development, often the caching is a problem. And I know what you'll say is you should have a development server and a staging server and a live server and all the rest of it. But how does this affect like the development process? Would you advise not using this in a development environment because you're going to have trouble seeing your changes, maybe switch it off or something?
Okay, so this is a case where someone is just like editing content on their live site because they don't have something set up for something else. So this could be a problem. So for example, if you have your CSS file and you have it set with a 10-minute cache lifetime and you make a tweak to it, mod PageSpeed is not going to check back to see if you've edited that CSS file until the 10 minutes are up. So you have a few options. One is you can just turn off mod page speed while you're doing this live debugging or live development. Another is you can flush the cache for mod page speed. So you could just, in another terminal, have just the command to flush the cache and just run that whenever you make a change. You could also do your test CSS file with a different file name and change the file name when you change the content. But that's probably getting pretty annoying. You can also temporarily set your CSS file to cache control private. You're right in that what I was going to say is this isn't a very good way to develop sites because if you screw something up and you save something, users might see a broken page.
Yeah, I know what you mean. In many ways, it sounds like a silly question, but it's something I get asked a lot. It's kind of like asking someone why I shouldn't take my car apart while I'm driving it. But you know what I mean.
If you take your car apart while you're driving it, you'll notice that it breaks. If you're editing your live site, you might not notice that you've ruined things for lots of people.
That's very true. And what about like CDNs and stuff like that? A lot of people store their stuff in third-party content delivery networks and so on. How does that affect things? Would you advise turning those off as well, or how does that work?
So just like with Varnish, we make a typical pull CDN work much better because it doesn't have to make as many requests back to the origin server for resources. Because we can increase cache lifetimes on almost everything. You can use mod PageSpeed also, we'll integrate with you. So if you want to have us automatically rewrite resources to put them on your CDN, there's an option for that in PageSpeed. But even if you don't configure that at all and just turn on PageSpeed and are already using a CDN and it's a pull CDN, things should just get better.
Excellent. And, What's the kind of goals for the project? Have you got any anything on the roadmap or anything you want to tell us about? Anything that you're working on that you think is going to be exciting coming down the pipeline, and so on?
We have some exciting stuff that I'm actually not supposed to talk about yet. But we also have
definitely talk about that then. We definitely want to hear that. Yeah. No, I'm joking.
But a lot of our stuff right now is just sort of looking at new ways that we can be speeding up websites, especially things that are hard to do by hand, or you can kind of only figure out in a dynamic context. Just optimizations are hard to do statically. Basically, we're running dynamically on every page load. What are the things that we're sort of uniquely positioned to do? And so we're looking at whether there's some better things we can do with JavaScript. We're looking to see there's a lot of things that we're currently doing research on, and we haven't found like clear optimizations that we should be doing in those. So some work is in that. Some work is in just keeping everything running and fixing bugs.
So Who else is using this? I mean, I see that Google is offering it as a potentially priced service within its own hosting service. Who else is using this?
Wait, sorry. Were you talking about the PageSpeed service or?
Yes. I'm just looking at the web page that's in your URL here. It mm-hmm. indicates that there could be a priced Google service for this at some time in the future.
So maybe that's slightly out of date. So what there is right now is there's something called the PageSpeed service, which is basically Google running the same code internally. You would CNAME your domain to Google, and it would do these optimizations. Right now it's in a closed beta. It's something where not everyone wants to make changes to their web server config. So a different way to deploy this technology is to just have Google proxy your site. There's also some amount of integration with Edgecast, who's a CDN who will run mod PageSpeed for you. And you can also turn on PageSpeed at GoDaddy or DreamHost.
Okay. So if I was to use your hosted service, does Google gather additional data that it uses to optimize its advertising and user tracking from that hosted service?
I don't think so. I don't actually work on that part. It would be, I would check the privacy policy. I don't know.
Right.
It probably says something like, we will use data from this service to make our services better.
Right. So yeah, I see that on the webpage here, you say that Edgecast, DreamHost, GoDaddy, SiteGround are all using it. Is that a complete list or are there some more?
I think that's a list of places that have some amount of PageSpeed integration where, like, if you want PageSpeed, you can go to them and they have it already set up and running for you. That's not a list of the websites that are running PageSpeed. There are several hundred thousand websites running PageSpeed.
Okay. A question we forgot to ask earlier. What open source license is this under?
It's the Apache license.
Mm-hmm. And was there a particular reason for using that? I know that that's a preferred license by a lot of Googlers. Was there a particular reason for using it?
I mean, basically, unless there's a strong reason to use another license, like you're extending something that's existing, that's the sort of standard license Google uses to release anything. It gives people a lot of different freedoms, and it doesn't restrict. If people want to go ahead and make closed source versions, they can go ahead and do that. Like iSpeed, for example, which I mentioned, the Microsoft Stack version of this is closed source, and it's a paid commercial product, and that's fine with us. We didn't intend to support. We don't want to work on that platform. So if they want to do that, they can go ahead.
Okay, so Jeff, we have another people chatting away in the IRC, as you can imagine, about this topic. And another question from Esol, who asked one earlier, says, are you looking for any particular help with this project in terms of development, documentation maybe, or translation, things like that?
So let me think. So right now our doc is almost exclusively in English. So if someone wanted to put in the work of translating our doc to another language, that would be absolutely wonderful. Right now, the project is pretty hard to use if you don't have a working knowledge of English. We have lots of open bugs. I don't have a list in my head of what sort of the highest priority ones are for that it would be easy for external contributors to work on. But if someone wanted to, I'd love if people would get in contact with me, and I can find something for them to work on. In general, most of the contributions we've had have been people who something wasn't working and they dug in to get it to work, sort of people scratching their own itch that way. There are lots of ways that we could use help if people have some time and would like to talk to me.
Yeah, that sounds really good. We're gradually coming towards the end of the show now, Jeff. Is there anything that you wanted to say about the project that we haven't asked you about?
Seems like this has been pretty thorough. Yeah, lots of good questions from you guys and from IRC.
Excellent.
Nothing comes to mind.
Okay, well, we do actually have to interrogate you a little further.
Because, go ahead.
Randall wouldn't allow me to host the show again if I didn't ask you what your favorite scripting language was.
For personal projects, I really like Python. In this case, we don't really use... I mean, we have a little bit of Bash for testing, which works, but I'm not excited about it, especially because We do some pretty complicated stuff in it. And we've been considering integrating a scripting language into Mod PageSpeed itself, so that you can do more complicated stuff with configuration in case you want to be able to, at runtime, say things like, I want to cache extend my CSS and my JavaScript, but not my images. Like right now, there's no way to do that. Or if someone wants to develop a new feature on their own and they don't want to do C++. So we've been poking at Lua, trying to see if it makes sense to integrate that. But putting a scripting language inside your web server is a little intense, so I'm not sure we'll go that way.
Right. But really, more personally, you know, which scripting language do you like? You're a Python guy. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a good job Randall isn't here in that case. I do have to ask you, Vi or Emacs?
Emacs.
Emacs. So you go for more complexity then. That's interesting. Well, I see that you're actually a mandolin player with a dance band. So presumably you like the complexity of mandolin playing.
Actually, the way I play mandolin is kind of much, much simpler than people generally do.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's me playing mandolin. But you'll see, actually, I pretty much just use one finger with my left hand. It's,
Oh, you're trying to tell me you only know one chord now, aren't you?
I pretty much play two chords.
That's reinforcing prejudices about dance music, of course. You seem to be quite committed to charity as well. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. So I feel like as a relatively well-off first worlder, I'm just really, really lucky. And I would like to be able to share some of the ways that I've been really, there are lots of things I don't have to worry about. Like, I'm going to have enough food, I'm going to have shelter, I'm going to have medical care. And it's really horrible that lots of people don't have that. So me and my wife donate half of our income to the most effective charities we can find, usually GiveWell-recommended charities.
That's excellent stuff. And I know that Google's a company that does matched giving in some cases. I hope you get them to do the same.
We get a match. Google is not willing to just sort of like match everything you give. So there's a limit. We do hit that limit. But it's great that they're willing to do that.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for appearing on the show, Jeff. We very much appreciate it. And thanks for telling us all about Mod PageSpeed and the Nginx PageSpeed.
Happy to be here.
Thanks, Jeff.
So, Dan, what do you think about all that?
Yeah, very, very interesting. I mean, obviously, this is a big problem for the web, is keeping things fast and reducing load on your bandwidth on your servers and stuff. And it seems like this could be a really, really useful tool for that. It sounds like it's already kind of taken off. So that's really interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happens with the hosted service. That was something we kind of got into a little bit, but some people were asking about that and how that will work and stuff. So I think it's a project with a big future. It's already doing well.
Right, it's not an area that I know a great deal about, but it seemed to me that there was a lot of thinking by a lot of people all being integrated into a single code base there to produce enhancements. It did strike me that there was scope for other people around the industry to get involved, and that the governments, the rather fragmented appearance of it, means that they might not be willing to join in so much. It did look like the sort of code that I would like to see in use on web servers that I'm using. Do you think you'll be asking your service providers to deploy that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think anything that speeds up the delivery of your sites and your pages and so on is definitely a big boon. A big boon to your service, definitely. And something that we all kind of struggle with, I know I do anyway, is making sure that I've got everything optimized and so on. And I think that the interesting thing about this project is when I looked earlier on, a lot of the things that it does, you could I mean, some of the things it does, you could do manually, but it's a hell of a lot of work. And to be honest, I'm not confident that I'm expert enough to know the best way to do those things. So I think it's really good that it automates a lot of things and applies kind of best practices, if you like. So I don't have to be a optimization expert to kind of get some of the benefits, which is great. And I think a lot of people could benefit from that. And hopefully I will be able to in the future as well.
Excellent. Well, coming up on future Floss Weeklies is, who knows what's coming up? I've just been looking at the schedule, and it looks to me like Randall has some contacting to do because we have pages and pages of potential guests, but nobody scheduled. I'll do some plugging in that case. Do please read my column on InfoWorld. I write a column every Friday called Open Sources on InfoWorld, and I'm also writing in Computer World UK. I'm also writing in Linux Voice magazine. If you're not a subscriber to Linux Voice magazine, I encourage you to take a look at it at their website. There's a free first issue. I particularly like writing for Linux Voice magazine because they make all of their content Creative Commons after a set period, which means that people can reuse it in their own publications. I think that's a really good thing to be doing. You can get a free subscription to Linux Voice magazine for 3 months if you join the Open Source Initiative, of which I'm president. So I encourage you to do that as well. I don't have any more excursions this year, but I'll be going to FOSDEM in Brussels the first weekend in February, and I hope that you'll be there. That's one of the world's largest free and open source software gatherings. And many, many projects will be having their annual developer get-together at that meeting. Anything that you'd like to tell us about, Dan?
I mean, I know we're not here to kind of advertise Linux Voice specifically, but I am a subscriber and I do enjoy the magazine. So if you're in the UK, check it out. It's very cool. And also FOSDEM, I'm going to try and get there again this year. I haven't been for 2 years now, something like that, unfortunately. But hopefully get over there this year and check that out. Because as Simon said, it really is the major kind of European meetup for so many projects. I mean, you're talking about, you know, 6 to 8,000 people or more. It may even be bigger than that now, very kind of developer focused. So if you are a software developer, you're interested in getting involved in the projects and stuff, then go and meet the people and do that. That's a really good way of doing it. I have a look at my website, danlynch.org. It's in the little lower third if you're watching the video. You can find my blog on there and links to things like Twitter and so on. If you're watching this live, or if you're very quick on the podcast or the recorded version, we have the final episode of Linux Outlaws, which is a podcast I do with my colleague in Germany. We're kind of having a little break, and then we're going to come back with something different next year. But we're doing the last episode of Linux Outlaws on Monday the 15th. Of December, which is next week, as I mention it, as we're recording this. So you need to have a look at, we're just Google for Linux Outlaws. You can join in live. The show's on Monday evenings in the UK. So that's kind of Monday afternoon-ish in most parts of the US, on the West Coast, probably lunchtime. Come along and join in. If you Google for Linux Outlaws, you will find all the information there. And I think that's about it for me. So I think that's all my plugs.
Okay, well, the season's greetings to you, Dan. I doubt that we'll be on a show together before the new year. And that's about it for Floss Weekly. Thank you very much for tuning in. This is Simon Phipps and Dan Lynch signing out.